Blog Talk Radio.
Exploration. Love. Healing. Magic. You've entered a very special place where anything can happen. Stay inside your ride, but be prepared to expand your consciousness. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to the Psychic Funhouse. We're here again for another amazing show. We are here with a special guest, Liam Watt, and my lovely co-host, Laurence Birch.
Mr. Laurence Birch, yes. We're here with
Mr. Laurence Birch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing astrologer and all-around wonderful guy, Liam, joins us. So we're thrilled.
Yeah.
Howdy, guys.
Absolutely.
Nice to be back here again.
Yeah.
Hey, Liam. So nice to have you.
So nice to be here, Michael. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, it's our pleasure. You're a great guy and very interesting as well. So we are thrilled to have you here. Any announcements? Oops, sorry.
That's how I think of the both of you also. So
thank you.
Mutual admiration.
Well, your $20 is
thank
in the
you.
Mail. So here, yeah, thank you.
We have to renegotiate.
Too much.
Oh, okay. 2021 prices now. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Man. Cheap days are over.
Oh, that's too funny. So, Mr. Laurence, do we have any announcements for next week's show? Any special guests?
Well,
anything coming
well,
up?
Well, I've got the hook set, but I haven't landed the big fish for next week. But, you know, you and I have been in a discussion about having an animal communicator on our show because we have, you know, not too infrequent calls from people with animal questions. And I contacted my friend Carla Meske, who is in Arizona and is a shamanic practitioner and an animal communicator, as well as being a fabulous person. And she agreed to come on next week. We have to set everything up. So it hasn't become 100% set in stone, but that's my prediction. So hopefully it'll come true.
I am so excited.
On the 12th. Yeah, she's great. Really nice person. So loves animals.
Very
super
cool.
Smart, super sharp. Yep.
Very
that sounds
cool.
Fast.
Very cool. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd like her, Liam. She's real nice. Good people.
Oh, that's nice. That's interesting. Well, when we get into questions, I'm gonna ask you this now, Liam, and then you can answer later. Can you do charts on animals?
Yes. Oh, yes. The same general laws apply.
I like that.
Yeah, no, I find it really, you know, the difference between a Cancerian dog and an Aries dog, they're just, they're really true to the archetype of those signs. And, you know, then it's just as complicated also as a human. But yes, it does apply.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you get calls for people wanting to know about their pets, readings on their pets?
No, I don't. Let me just think about that. I think I had somebody call one time and asked if it was time to put down their 20-year-old cat.
Oh, wow.
And I said, wow. No, just leave it alone for a few hours and it'll take care of itself.
Yeah, that's pretty old for a kitty.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I think no, but it could be. You know, we'd need the same information as we do for a person. The birth time is very important, and the birthplace,
mm-hmm.
In addition to the date. But
mm-hmm.
And wow. I have done the on the animals that I have kept. I've only ever had one dog, a wonderful dog, who taught me about animal communication. Moondog
uh-huh.
taught me that animals communicate in pictures. They use thought pictures that they send back and
yes.
forth. And Moondog did
I've
that
heard
with
that
me.
Yeah.
He taught me that early on. And, you know, we were able to communicate that way really quite articulately. So I think your guest, I think that's going to be a very interesting show next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I like that.
Yeah.
I've heard
that's
that
exciting.
Too. You know, there's kind of a pre-speech pattern of communicating with animals that utilizes imagery much more so. Yeah.
Do we have
wow.
time for a brief? Have time for a brief story?
Sure.
In
of course.
So, Moondog was this really, truly unique and incredible communicative animal. It was a cross between a Doberman and a black lab, which was just friendly and intelligent and loyal. And he was a multiple Sagittarius, which meant I couldn't keep him contained. I couldn't keep him on a leash.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't keep him fenced in. And he let me know that fairly early on. But through the years, he taught me about communicating in thought pictures. And one time when he was not even 11 years old, we would walk to a deli around the corner from where I was living each morning. And on the way back with my coffee and my roll, Moondog shot me a picture of me digging his grave in the backyard of the house that we were living at. And
oh, wow.
I looked and said, Moondog, you're healthy as a hog, and you're not even 11 years old yet. You're going to be around for many more years. Then he just looked up at me and he shot me the very same picture of me digging that hole.
Oh, wow.
About a week later, his back leg started to swell.
Oh,
and
no.
2 weeks later, it was diagnosed as lymphoma sarcoma. And
oh, geez.
5 weeks later, I was digging the hole in the backyard where he showed me he was going to be buried.
Wow.
That's a true story. And, you know, one of the many instances in which he showed me this by projecting an image, or, you know, the image would appear in my mind and know it was from him. Yeah.
Mm.
So,
wow.
So once again, your guest next week should be really fascinating. And people are so crazy about their pets, you know, cats or dogs or whatever it is. They're so in love with them, so intimately related.
Yeah. Well, they become part of the family for a lot of people in our culture. And
yes.
I think, you know, in the last year, people have been, you know, whether their animals were considered support animals or service animals or not, they got converted during the pandemic for sure. So,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, well, since COVID, my two cats are my whole social sphere.
Well, you could do worse. You could do worse.
They're great. Yep. Now that I know that I can, you know, that they communicate with thought pictures, we have a ball. So.
There you go.
So,
yeah.
Are you able to communicate with your two cats like you were with Moondog?
I need more verbal commands. They're not as,
mm-hmm.
But yes. I mean, so the older one, who's about coming up on five now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very sensitive animal. Very intelligent and sweet. Yes, I can often get him with a look, but sometimes I still need the verbal command to get him to either get down out of the sink or, you know, off the dining room table or whatever it is, you know, chewing on a plant he's supposed to be eating. But yes, you know, I mean, with training, yes.
One more question about your animals. Well, actually about you. Did you do, have you done astrology readings for them? Did you look at their charts?
To the extent that I could get their birth information, I could get close to a birthday with most. So most of the pets that I've had are rescued animals. So the shelters know approximately when they were born, but not specifically. Moondog, I knew. So Moondog was a stray, but we figured his approximate birthday pretty closely. And he was born under the Sagittarius when many planets were in Sagittarius. And he was the true essential Sagittarius. You could not fence him in. You could not contain him on a leash. He insisted on freedom. He was good. He was not, you know, he was perfectly obedient and friendly. But even, I'm serious, in New York City on Broadway, don't put a leash on me, boss. You know, I just want to wander free. And he was large and Doberman looking. You know, he looked like a Doberman, and he was very large, and people would be frightened of him. But I would just try to say, you know, he's just the sweetest, kindest, most communicative animal, very special animal for sure. And that was our agreement, you know, Mooney, I won't chain you. He chewed through every rope I ever tried to tie him on with.
So. Oh my gosh! Wow.
And then I came home from work. I used the chain. He was chewing on the chain. I said, "Okay, you win. You don't. You're free." Yeah. He loved to wander. And in Brooklyn, I lived near Prospect Park, so he could go into the park and wander. And he'd always come back. He'd often go off with other people. Because he was so, as Sagittarians are, so gregarious. But he always knew when it was time to come home. He did go off to a barbecue and help himself to everything that was on the grill and prepared for the grill. So I had a technology and a huge food bill to pay those people. But because he, you know, he wasn't in the wasn't supposed to be off.
He sounds like quite a character.
Oh wow!
He was wonderful. I should really write a short, you know, a short book about him. I've written a few chapters in writers groups, and people just love. You know, there's just really something special about good animal stories. So.
Yeah.
One more thing,
because I never thought about, you know, astrology charts and pets. Like, I just never put the two together. And then as we're talking now, it's like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
You
can run some charts on your pets.
Well, I think, Michael, I think it shows the interconnectedness of all life. And, you know, and the fact that it does apply, I mean, you have to be open to see the correspondences. It's not a rational left brain, you know, I couldn't prove it scientifically. But if you're open to see the correspondences, like I say, Moondog was the quintessential Sagittarius in every way. And he had the sun and numerous planets in Sag. So, yeah, I think, as I say, I think it's to the web of life, that everything is interrelated, just not just here on Earth, but through the galaxy, through the cosmos. You know, I don't think we're little individual specks of dust in some kind of chaotic cosmic sandstorm. I think we all have an integral, an independent but integral part. And what seems to me to be a truly orderly oneness of being, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
Wow.
We're all connected, definitely.
Yeah.
So do you subscribe to the belief some people have that pets keep coming back with us through different lifetimes, the same animal kind of as our companion more than once?
Well, I'm going to go out on a branch again here. The communication that I had with Mooney, Moondog, I asked him when he was on his, you know, just like the day before I had to have him euthanized. I said, Moondog, if you have an afterlife, let me know. You know, please find to communicate that to me.
Yeah.
And I know he got it. And that night, as I was grieving, I was sitting on the steps of this house next to Mooney's favorite spot, and I got a very clear image of his image, of his being. And I don't even know really quite how to describe this. It was as if these three chords of life were unwinding, like a rope, like a braided rope that was coming
DNA.
Unbraided.
Yeah.
And that reminded me of something in Hindu philosophy about what they call the three gunas, the three forces that are required for a soul. Although my theology is failing me here, but so Mooney communicated with me, but I didn't get the sense that he was necessarily going to have his personality come back in a different incarnation. That was my feeling for years.
Huh.
But then, years later, how many years later? Oh, 15 years later, when my youngest daughter wanted a dog, we got a rescue dog, and this dog was just as large as a female, huge like Moondog was, and the very same temperament. I mean, just an amazingly smart, communicative, gentle, obviously alpha, with no need to challenge anything or anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And Dahlia, she was a female, quite large. And I had Dahlia with me one time, and I went to pick up a friend, an old friend who knew Moondog really well. His name was Doug. And when Doug got in the car, he turned around and took one quick look at Dahlia, and he said, "Who's that, the reincarnation of Moondog?"
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy.
You know.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And Dahlia and I have always had a special connection. So, you know, who knows? But why not? You know?
Wow.
Interesting questions.
That's
Thanks for
great.
Asking this. This is a real, it's a treat for me to share these unusual stories. Yeah.
Well
you know
thank
what?
You for sharing
you obviously,
them.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And you obviously have a deep connection. I think anybody that loves animals is part of my tribe. So you're obviously somebody who's really beyond just appreciating them for who they are. You're much deeper than that. So that's even better.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. Show the level of love and respect not everybody has, you know.
So. Yeah, unfortunately, surely so. You know, how we treat life, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As humans. That's evolving. That's improving, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's kind of go into the main topic for the show.
Sure.
Which is you're a gifted astrologer. And it was very interesting when we were talking about this. If you telling me, conveying to me, that we are able to see our life purpose through an astrology chart, which I just find fascinating. And And, you know, is that really possible?
I believe it is with a skilled practitioner, particularly. Yeah, that's and I think it's one of the primary purposes of astrology through the ages. You know, the old adage over I can't remember which Greek temple it is, but to know thyself, astrology is just an unsurpassed tool for that. And part of that is who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? And astrology does articulate that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe this kind of a segue into the next question. So can you tell us briefly how astrology influences our lives? Or is that too big and general of a question?
Well, that's been theorized by many people far more experienced and more gifted than I, but I do have my own take on it. How and why astrology works is, you know, it's kind of a perennial question. I just initially, for years, I just accepted the fact that, yes, I see these correspondences. And some astrologers will say, well, is it really a causal effect or is it just synchronicity? Which is, that's about as far as Carl Jung was to risk his scientific career and say, yeah, they're synchronous events. This reflects that. As above, so below. But I think there is a more actual, I don't want to necessarily call it a causal connection, but again, we now know through physics, quantum physics, advanced physics, that everything in the universe is energy, ultimately.
Right.
You know, in different states, matter, I like to use the analogy of water. Liquid water is like spirit. Frozen water is like matter, but it's the very same substance. So if the cosmos has, which I believe it does, just because I've seen the evidence time and time again, that it's not just randomness and chaos out there. There's a clear order. There's an evolutionary direction. And, you know, it seems to me an intentional design for the evolution of consciousness. And, you know, everything seems to grow towards happiness, if you will, or to bliss. Everything is motivated in that direction, everything in life. And, you know, I just think that, as I said before, we're not individual dust particles just getting blown around in this chaotic sandstorm. It's more like a beautifully, everything is like this interwoven lace of energy in different states. So I do think that the very celestial bodies are an integral part of the human psyche through the medium of consciousness. I don't know that.
Okay, wait a minute. You just said something really profound there. Could you repeat that again and go into it a little more deeply?
Well, the celestial bodies themselves, I believe in reality, you know, there's some level of consciousness in everything.
And, they have animus.
And they're, I believe, an integral part of the human psyche. You know, we're just beginning to get to grasp what consciousness is. And you have to step out of the realm of certainly mechanical physics and even in quantum physics. But, you know, we do know that consciousness influences experiments. The mere observation changes things.
Heisenberg's principle.
There's that. And, you know, to go a little bit farther, that consciousness is really the field in which everything manifests.
Right.
And I wish I could achieve that level of consciousness. You know, way back in the day, I tried with psychedelics. You know, and you could get like a quick view of it. But
yeah.
It's really so complex. We can't understand it with our rational minds. We can barely understand it with our intuition, with
right.
our best feeling level. It's a little bit like, for me, we're like living on a two-dimensional page, and somebody comes along who's a three-dimensional being. They can't fit on that page, you know, and we as two-dimensional sort of cartoon characters can't really understand, wow, what is that thing, you know, that has
right.
all this life and extra dimension to it. So
right.
I kind of see it's like that. It's almost like we can never know, at least
mm-hmm.
not in this form.
Right.
So there's mystery also to be appreciated. And not to be open to suspicion, but just to acknowledge. I mean, even Einstein couldn't figure it out, you know. And he figured out
stuff. He was just a genius. What did he know? You know.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's
right.
I don't know if it's understandable. If I'm just flapping my jaw here, but.
I think I got it. We're stardust, right? I mean, we're all one. That's where I come back to.
There you go.
Time.
We're stardust. We're
yeah.
golden. Yeah.
Yep. There you go.
And I think there is
garden.
That. I mean, I think the key piece is that there is order. There is an intentional design.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just
yeah.
beyond our comprehension. But it. Mm-hmm. How can it be denied? I mean,
right.
even Stephen Hawking's. His last book was called The Grand Design. And in the final
uh-huh.
chapter, he said, if in the early stages of the universe, if any of the elements were different by 0.001%, nothing would have come together. If one single
mm-hmm.
element, that minuscule amount, he said, we believe nothing would have come together.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we have this amazingly beautiful, and if we're open to it, love-centered,
mm-hmm.
not romantic love, but, you know,
real,
a sense
love. Deeper love.
Of,
yep. love
of beingness,
love.
Yep. of sense of
mm-hmm.
oneness, this incredible
mm-hmm.
sense of oneness, you know,
yep.
that has an I am at the core, that has
mm-hmm.
a, you know, that has a, yeah, I don't know how else to call it. But even Stephen Hawking, he couldn't call it. You know, he said, nope, it's a grand design, but we don't think it's an intentional design. Well,
sure.
All right. You know, that's, yeah, so there we go. Anyway.
Well, you know, science has its own paradigm, and it has its own rules, and, you know, it just is what it is. If it can't measure it, it doesn't exist. So
right.
you just have to work
right.
within that paradigm. But then
right.
if you're also
right.
a spiritualist, you have to, you know, allow the paradox between the two to coexist however they do in your thought processes, you know. So
excellent. Well said, Lauren.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Excellent.
For me, Michael is the biggest paradox in my life, and he gives me lessons all the time. So it's relatively easy to expand that to the universe.
He
just accept it, you know. He's
I'm
a
beginning to see what you
mean paradox. Yeah. A nice
exactly.
one, most of the time.
So, you know, as we're, I want to ask you a question here, because as we're talking about these grand designs, right, a divine design in place, are we able to, or do you think astrology charts, astrological charts give us a glimpse into this?
I think so.
Does it
I think
help
so.
With
yeah.
that? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Would you say the last part again? Does it help with that, do you say?
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
For us to
very
see.
Much so. Yes. Very, very much
okay.
so. I mean, again,
right.
with, you know, with a skilled interpreter, you know, with some experience. Have to say with the caveat that every astrologer interprets a little bit different. It's kind of like there's a beautiful tree and you have 10 different poets writing about the tree. You're going to come up with 10 different perspectives. But there are basic elements that they would all agree on. And there are those elements in astrology that describe what the person's past habit patterns are, what their strengths are, what their character strengths are, what areas of their life those strengths will show up in. But it's very complex. I mean, there's so many, you know, there's hundreds of elements that all have to be synthesized together, which makes us all, you know, very, very unique, like an ongoing kaleidoscope.
Right.
But yes, there are definitely, there are elements that you can help a person determine, why am I here? What's my purpose?
Right.
What are my best, you know, this is why I like working with college kids who haven't yet decided on a path, because it shows, clearly indicates what their strengths are and in what areas those strengths occur, which they, most people have a sense of it. But it also shows, you know, elements of astrology that show the process of unfolding, the individuation process, Jung would call it. And you know, what's the timing of that? Is this a good time for me to change careers, open a business, start a, look for a relationship, that kind of thing? So it's both the qualities, the characteristics, the purpose, and the timing. All of you can get great insights with astrology.
Right. Liam, you mentioned a word there, change. I guess one of the questions I have sometimes with astrologers, how deterministic is it? In other words, you know, you read people, you see the pattern, and then, like you said, you kind of sounds like you're an astrological guidance counselor when you get the chance for younger people to, you know, give them some personal deep insights so they can make the best choices possible with their lives and things. And I guess how, you know, I've been struggling with this in my life because there's some people close to me that, you know, from my perspective, and maybe it's arrogant, I can see that they need to change and grow. And I'm in a place right now where I'm able to do that with myself, you know, not always the case, but for whatever reason, I've hit the stride and I'm going for it and it feels really good. So of course, you know, that's the lens that I see the world through at this time. And when I have discussions about change with them, there's so much resistance. So do you think people are bound by the parameters of what you would see in their chart, or can they go beyond that, or is it mutable? Is there a contract people sign before they come down here, you know, that kind of thing? Or what's your position on change in astrology, I guess, is my question.
That's excellent, Lawrence. Great question. Mutability is one of the three basic qualities in astrology.
That's right. That's right.
So some people are more prone to being able to change. But I would ask you, you say you're at a phase where it's beneficial for you to do it, and you're ready to do it, and you can do it. And I think the difference in your case is the level of consciousness that you're experiencing yourself. So I think we're only as limited. So we get easily, humans get easily locked into habit patterns. And some of those habit patterns are really difficult to break. You know, many feel are survival based. Oh, I can't do that because I'll be annihilated again. Or, you know, that's where where the fear is, where the wounds from the past, from the, you know, the past history that's still being held in the subconscious. But with consciousness, transformation is, you know, the soul is in control. And you know, so it's interesting for, you know, I would ask you, was there a transitional phase where you came to realize that, oh, yes, I can do this. I don't have to be limited by these past circumstances or past habit patterns?
Yeah, good question back. And I like what you're saying. Well, you know, I think, you know, you brought up some stuff that's really relevant to me, and I don't want to take up too much time, but, you know, for the longest time, I feel like I've been on a path toward, you know, forward towards something. You know, in my youth, it was enlightenment, because I thought that was important. You know, as I've gotten older, it's just to be a better, kinder person. And this last year, during the pandemic, you know, it was like all hands on deck for me and a bunch of my loved ones and just everybody in the world practically. So there was a lot of fear going on, a lot of crises, a lot of environmental stuff came up. You know, it just felt like the, you know, what was hitting the fan. And I had more than a few dark nights of the soul that lasted like a week to a month. So
wow.
There was a lot of introspection, a lot of really deep probing, whether I wanted to or not, that's just kind of the circumstances I found myself in. And so out of that, you know, came some really wonderful things. It's like, you know, the image of the lotus comes to mind, right? With different Indian traditions, the Vedic, you know, Hindu, all that. It grows in this really muddy pool, you know, down at the bottom where there's the muck and you know, all the lower chakra stuff and consciousness is really very elemental. And then when it's the time's right, it's triggered to grow up and it rises and it rises. And then on the surface of the water, right, that symbol of fluidity and movement, this amazing multi-petaled flower of consciousness opens up, just like the crown chakra. And you've got this amazing connection. Mm. You know, it's still rooted, right, because it has to honor its past, but it's not bound by its past the same way that, you know, it was when it was just in that primordial ooze. And I think that's a good metaphor for human processing, right? It's not to divorce yourself from the past. It's to understand and evolve through that and from that become something greater than yourself by aligning with whatever power you feel connected to that's going to help not just you evolve, but the group as a consciousness. And I think that's kind of the Aquarian message, right? Somebody was telling me that it's we're now working within the group. It's not Piscean anymore, where it's more about, you know, maybe the self or authority submission and all that. It's about, hey, how can we all, you know, come along together and enjoy and experience, you know, a real age of love and whole holiness, right? Wholesomeness, something like
yes.
That.
Yes. So. Beautifully expressed.
Mm.
I love the metaphor of the mud.
Mm.
Actually, I saw that. It's funny that you should use that. This morning, somebody sent me a friend request, and I looked at their Facebook site to see what they were like. And their saying under their picture was, "No mud, no flower."
That's hilarious.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
So true.
And right. and you know, it's just what you just described. And yes, I think you know, the age of Aquarius and all these planets that have moved into Aquarius and Pluto soon coming to Aquarius, we've got to do it all together, or we're not going to make it. You know,
right.
It kind of seems to be the direction we're going. And, mm-hmm. you know, there are those powers that be that seem to be resisting.
And
holding on to the old, you know, the old view, the old paradigm. But it seems that we must join together and recognize our commonality, our communalism, and I like what you said. I agree with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I'm really glad that I made it through, because it was touch and go there more than a few times. It got pretty intense, but
wow.
You know.
Well, from I don't know you well, but from what I've seen in these two relatively brief episodes, sounds like you're on your game and you're on your way and you're the captain of your ship.
No, I'm captain, my captain.
Yay.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. That means a lot coming from you, sir.
Oh. So.
So
yeah,
I think
so. Astrology.
This might be a good time. This might be a good time to take a call or two if we've got them, and also
oh,
to
okay.
remind people about how to contact us after the show, in case maybe they want to get an astrological reading from you or some healing from Michael or something like that. What do you think, Mr. Espinoza? Mr. Michael?
Did he fall asleep?
He might. He does that. If he's
yeah.
turn up the volume really loud, we hear him snoring. There he is.
who was speaking? I just fell asleep.
He did.
What? Why don't you tell
you
us
can
how
get
we
a hold
get
of me through my website,
yeah,
MichaelJEspinoza.com. Call or text at 562-457-0457. Lawrence, how can they get a hold of you?
Phone number's good. If it's a new call for me, then texting is always good, because I get so much spam. I don't pick up strange phone calls typically, unless I'm feeling lucky. So 541-344-7534. Email is givingtree@earthlink.net. Facebook page, Giving Tree Farm Herb Company, because I'm also a certified clinical herbalist. And my website is givingtreefarm.com. So, Mr.
Liam,
Watt, how about you? Yeah.
Well, sounds like the dog ate my homework, but my website is being reconstructed. it's under renovation right now. The best way to reach me is my email, which is pretty simple. It's iamliamwatt@gmail.com. All one word. iamliamwatt@gmail.com. And my phone number is 845-688-3344. And I hope to have that
great.
Work in a short
yeah.
while.
Yeah. So let's take a caller. Are you ready
yes.
for that, Liam?
Yes.
Great.
You know,
we have
to tell the callers that I need their date of birth, their time
mm-hmm.
of birth, as quickly as they can provide it, and their place of birth. And I'm going to enter that into my computer, and the computer will calculate the chart pretty quickly. And
okay.
could be ready to answer whatever questions
nice.
The caller
has.
Okay. I'll try anyway.
All right. This is exciting. All right. So we're going to take a call. So remember, caller, let us give us your name, your where you're calling from. And then if you would like a reading with astrologer Liam Watt, he'll need your date of birth and time of birth and place of birth. All right, so here we go. The first caller is going to be area code 631. Hello, 631. Where are you calling from and what's your name?
Hi, this is Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne.
I just
Hi,
wanted
Suzanne.
My... Should I say my birthday or?
Yes,
sure.
October 5th, and I want to know if you see any changes, jobs, or love life.
Well, so, October 5th of what year, dear?
1960.
And do you know your time of birth?
7:25 a.m.
Okay, well, and where
I
were you?
I like that.
Long Island, New York.
Oh, what part of Long Island?
Huntington.
Huh. That's my hometown.
Oh.
Small world.
Yes.
Okay. Gee, I would, I'd
ahead,
start reminiscing.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. How can I do that? I misspelled Huntington. Huntington, we call it.
Real quickly here, Liam, I want to kind of let people know that if they're listening and they want to call in and get a reading, you can call into the show at 845-277-9211. 845-277-9211. Call in and get a reading with Liam Watt. Okay.
Yeah, so, Stan, you're a full moon child. You're Libra. You're born with the moon in Aries just shortly after the moon was totally full. And if your birth time is correct, relationship is very important to you. You experience yourself really through relationship. Let's see, moon in Aries is fairly impulsive, but you were asking a specific question. Was it a career question?
Yes, I am going to food service in the cafeteria with kids instead of teacher aid because I'm having a hard time finding a teacher aid job. Do you think that's going to be what I'm doing? And do you see anyone coming into my life?
The second question is more difficult than the first because there are so many elements that factor into someone coming into your life, and I could describe that a little bit, but it's not going to be really saying anything definitive for you. I would say food service is a perfect place for you to be working because you have the sign of Cancer, which is about nurturing. It's about food, is at your midheaven. It's your the top of your chart, your career sector. I would say that there's been a process you've been going through the last couple of years that have been challenging, where you've felt uncomfortable doing what you're doing and feeling the need for more freedom of expression, and you've sort of been up against authority figures who wouldn't really let you have the kind of free rein that you would like to have. Is that true?
Yeah.
Or perhaps there were limiting circumstances from the home. Is that there's a lot of energy going on in the sector of your chart that has to do with either your physical home life or, you know, deep in your soul. That's been in
the only
a process
thing is
of
part time the food service. I don't know if it's going to go to 6 hours a day because that's what I really need.
I'm considering that, trying to see if there is a way to determine that. I think that's a little, just for a quick glance, that's a little kind of detail-oriented. I'd need to get more into the details of research to say, you know, how, you know, it would be part-time. I'll just say that it's a good move, and I would say go for it. No.
Okay.
I see that you're very passionate in relationships. You tend to idolize the people that you are attracted to, your paramours. You're very passionate. But also you have this aspect of... I don't want to say fantasy necessarily, but you idolize the people that you're attracted to. And that can be somewhat problematic. And it also makes you very attractive. You have a very magnetic appearance physically. Is this true?
Well, then how come these people don't even want to date?
Maybe yeah. the magnet needs, maybe
no,
you need
not,
to turn the magnet.
They'd rather go fishing or take care of their grandkids or have a hobby than even meet for coffee.
Yeah.
Well,
you're a very, you have a very strong presentation. Aries moon is, it comes across like a bullet out of a gun. It's very direct. And, you know, Libras are, it's a very accommodating sign. It's very people-oriented and people-pleasing. But with moon in Aries, so you do have that quality. But the thing about a full moon person born under a full moon, is there's this sort of push and pull. It's like being on a seesaw. Sometimes you're experiencing the Libra quality where you are very accommodating and very people-pleasing and, you know, really truly seeking, you know, harmony and cooperation. And then at other times, when the moon in Aries is being accentuated, you're impatient. You want it your way. You want it now. What are you doing? You know, it's extremely direct.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I do, but the thing is, like, you know, they're just too busy to date or to meet. I can't, you know, date myself.
Yeah. I don't know how to speak to that just, you know, in this brief format.
Yeah, no, I know, but I just wanted to see if you saw anybody coming in.
Just give me just a quick second here.
Take your time, Liam. Don't worry about it.
All right, great.
It's a different question. Yeah. I'm sure Michael has something to contribute. He's been listening for a while. So.
Oh, good.
Michael?
That's great. Michael, what's your take?
I'm not seeing anybody right now. You've called in before, Suzanne, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think you asked the same questions or similar to this, but I remember your call and from the last time somewhat, but I remember that it was about a relationship and your job. And I kind of get it's not going to something like end of summer, fall. That's kind of what I'm seeing right now for a relationship happening. Yeah.
Well, what I do see, and I guess would lend me to agree with you, Michael. I would tend to agree with you because of the Chiron. It's not a planet. It's actually an asteroid.
Mm-hmm.
I see Suzanne being frustrated, and
mm-hmm.
that. Not something an Aries moon person is comfortable with. You know, they really would like, you know, they want what they want when they want it. And there's also, how can I say this? There's a tendency for you in a love relationship. I don't know if saying, you know, like you're being a victim is not quite it, but how can I say this? There's this period of time where you're susceptible. You can be easily deceived, especially with your tendency
to
ideal.
Good news to tell me?
Well, so here's the good news.
I just want good news.
I don't know if you were listening earlier, Suzanne, to the conversations that we were having, what Lawrence was describing. Awareness, bringing awareness to the situation it's really the way out. It's really the way forward, is to be conscious of how you're vibrating and what you're doing and how you're presenting. And when you're acting out of an old habit pattern or perhaps an old wound, as opposed to being here now and, you know, with conscious conscious attention. So what I see relationship-wise is I see the frustration. And I trust Michael, because I know his skill, that more, let's see, in the summertime, what's going to move? Well, it'll be, yeah. There might be more than one. I mean, you might suddenly have a line at the door.
That sounds good.
It never bothered me.
right.
Do you have anything for her, Lauren?
I'm going to have a line at my door.
Yeah. Well, Suzanne, let me ask you this. So what's your ideal romantic situation, like with a person in particular?
Someone younger than me, someone who's spunky, someone who has time to date, someone who's romantic and friendly and financially secure and who wants a future.
Okay. And so when you find that person, what do you have to offer them, like your top three or four or five?
Same thing.
Okay. You're spunky, you're young, at least at heart, if not in mind, body, and soul, and you're stable. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So my sense is what's happening isn't so much that there's a disconnect between you and, you know, the people that are coming around. It's how you're able to communicate and present yourself that isn't being received well. And that's something that we all have to work on. And, you know, that's not something that's really in our jurisdiction, so to speak. But I think if you solicited some feedback about how you communicate, what your style is with the people you trust around you, and gave them permission to tell you like the real deal, not sugarcoat it, they would give you some really deep insights that I think if you were able to take them to heart and really work with it, you'll find that that'll shift how you're able to land people and to really connect with people.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thanks for calling,
Suzanne.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
I think she
hung up. Yeah. I don't think she wanted to hear that. But Lawrence, I think you're absolutely spot on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not shocked.
Yeah. No. And, you know, if Suzanne is still has the radio on, is still listening, what Lawrence said was very direct, but it is the way forward. And, you know, not to be insulted by you know, I would just say, you know, reflect on it a little bit, because I think that provides you with what you're looking for. It's very well said.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's hard to deliver messages that aren't all about sweetness and nicety, but you also have to think, you know, and I'm speaking to myself as much as anybody else, right? If you're listening, Suzanne, if things keep happening over and over again, there's a recurrent pattern in your life, especially if it's one that you don't really jive with, then you got to sit down after a certain point and say, what is it I'm doing to invite this pattern in? There's a lesson that I'm not getting, and I'm probably trying really hard not to learn it, as a friend of mine has told me. So stop resisting, stop running, and just let it hit you and see what the hell happens. It could be a really good thing, even if it's painful in the beginning or challenging. Right? So you're not going to outrun the universe. Sorry, not going to happen.
Right.
So, you know, I was trying to be nice and just say, you know, hey, you need to talk to people, because even just communicating with us, like you saw her style, needs some work, right? Brusque, impolite, impertinent, and totally just dissed me by hanging up on me, which is totally rude and unacceptable, Suzanne. So I hope that you don't act that way towards your potential suitors, because they're going to get a whiff of that and start running the other direction, quite frankly. Not okay. So there needs to be something going on there where either the fear is blocking you from hearing this, or you just get comfortable within yourself to, you know, really do some self-assessment. I don't know how it's going to happen, but you know, there's some disconnect between how you're able to love yourself and put that out there, because people can't fill in the blank and the gaps for you. You got to do that work yourself. So that's my two cents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and also too, I want to add something in here. She explained a little bit of the qualities and characteristics she was looking for in somebody. And one of the things I've learned is, she had a nice list there to start, but you need to be really specific. You need to be much more specific, right? This is, he's 5'10", he's between 50 and 55, he makes $80,000, whatever. Like, you have to be much more specific. And sometimes the generalities aren't enough information for the universe to help you find somebody. And so anyway, I would suggest to everybody out there that's listening, if you're looking for love, be very specific about the person that you want to be with. All right, well, let's take another call. So here we go. Area code 856, we're going to come to you. What's your name? Where are you calling from? 856.
Hi, it's Rosemaria. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Rosemaria. Good, how are you?
Doing great.
Do you have
what's the name?
Date of birth and time of birth?
I need the name first.
Rosemaria.
Rosemaria.
Right.
Beautiful name. And your date of birth?
12/31. Do you need the year too?
Yes.
74.
Okay. And do you know the time of birth?
7:30 in the morning.
Okay. And the last thing is place of birth.
New Jersey.
Jersey. Can you, well, that's probably close enough. Pick a city in New Jersey that's close by.
Cherry Hill.
Say it again.
Oh, a friend of mine grew up there.
Cherry Hill.
Cherry Hill.
Cherry Hill.
Right.
Okay. Okay, December 31st of 74, 7:30 a.m. in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Bergen County? Close enough. Okay. So, Capricorn with Moon and Leo, what corporation do you run?
More Capricorn.
So you're Capricorn with Capricorn rising, very organized, very ambitious, very recognized for your skills. People probably want you to run things when they see your ability to organize and structure things. If the time is right, 7:30 in the morning, your ruling planet Saturn is on your relationship angle. So relationships have not necessarily been a piece of cake. You're very sensitive emotionally, very sensitive, possibly overly sensitive, and so I'm just seeing some of the basic planetary positions. So is there a specific question, Rosemaria?
I guess you hit different ages, relationship and stuff. So I was wondering if it's gonna go straight through and have a long-term remarried and all that stuff this year, if that's going to happen. I know
I'm not sure I understand.
Stuff. Like long-term relationship, marriage this year.
Is there somebody? Is there someone you're considering? Is there somebody in the queue, so to speak?
Yeah, sort of, kind of.
Yeah. Well, that's recently. Recently, meaning like the last 6 or 8 months, been a challenging question. You've been feeling very much inclined towards that. I'm not sure that the other person has shared that feeling with you. Just give me a minute and look at certain things here.
You know, these are some tough things, but you know they probably need to hear them. So hopefully they're able to receive them in the manner you're presenting them, Liam, which is, you know, loving, graceful, and just being of service. So.
Yeah, thank you, Lawrence, for saying that. It is very much my intention to be supportive of Rose Maria for her question as possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But and all, you know, at the same time, not sugarcoat or paint a false picture, mm-hmm. but just really assess the information that I would use in this. Is marriage in the cards for you in the near future? I feel that you're all in. I'm not sure the other party is as all in as you are. There are ways, let's see, how can, Lawrence, you said it beautifully to our last caller. with awareness, you know, so Rosemary, it seems to me you there's a tendency, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that you experience power struggles with folks. I don't know that necessarily applies towards your romantic relationships, but I just see that you've undergone recently in this past period of time, maybe really mostly the last year, that you've been feeling very intensely the desire for a bonded partnership and a safe partnership. It's not easy for you to trust. You really need someone to prove themselves to you. And yet at the same time, you know, I have the same issue, so I'm going to take the liberty to say a hypersensitivity, you know, an emotional reaction. And again, so how do you feel that the other party is as interested as you are in solidifying this bond?
I know he's very interested in certainly one way that he's not, but behind me he is, he cares and protects me and all that, so I don't know why I don't know if he's scared or everybody got heartbroken, so not only him.
Yeah.
Rosemary, yeah. What if he could speak to us right now, like you are, what do you think he would tell us about you or about the relationship or about what he wanted?
Excellent question.
What do you want? Someone mm-hmm. to stay put and kind of be there for him, I guess, like old school type of person.
You mean like his ace in the hole, like somebody you could totally rely on and trust, kind of thing.
I guess, yeah.
Something else? How would you say it?
like old school, like meaning he's in different culture. Well, I'm the same culture as him as it anyway, but different culture from here. Like like woman house, whatever, you know what I mean, housewife and all that. And he knows I'm not
traditional.
That
traditional.
Kind of, yeah, not that kind of a type, but he knows I'm pretty active.
Yeah.
Active.
Yeah. I would say who's calling the show? The first thing that I saw when you called, Rosemaria, was what corporation are you running? It seems like you're the type who calls the shots, and any partner is going to have to be okay with that. Have to be willing to say, all right, it's or at least you guys have to have an agreement as what areas of life are you ultimately your decisions responsible for, and what areas of life are his decisions, going to dominate. You've got a very strong and very capable personality. You should be in charge of many things, but a relationship is a give and take, and I think to the extent that you guys can negotiate who's in charge. Now, I mean, to really answer this question fairly, if you were a full client, I'd have to see his charts and the chemistry between the two of you to assess, the validity and the longevity and the compatibility and what areas, you would need to work on to make it last. So, but what you've expressed, that you both want the same thing. You're both looking for long-term commitment, and you're very capable of that. Let me ask you this. In past relationships, who does the ending? Who says it's time to go? Is that you or is it the other person?
Usually me.
It's usually you. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of knew that. And so you have to ask yourself really deeply, why is that? And be fair and be honest with yourself.
Do you have an answer for Rosemaria? Why is that? Why are you the one who usually leaves the relationship, do you think?
They're not doing the right thing or mistreat and stuff like that. So I usually hit the road running.
Do you think, let me ask you this, hypothetically, if you didn't leave like when you did and you stuck around longer, what do you think would happen? Like, would it get better, worse, or don't know?
Probably worse.
So there's something that comes up within the relationship that becomes a deal breaker, and then that's your ticket to exit stage left. But I guess my question is that deal breaker there in the beginning and you choose to overlook it, or does it get just progressively worse and you finally can't put up with it anymore and you leave? Do you know what I mean? Do you know the difference?
I know it progressed at the end towards like progressed into it, and then I just left, and with this one, being that he wasn't showing me what he wanted to do and take control over it instead of putting other people involved, so I said, you know what, whenever you're ready, I see you, I'm going home.
So that this isn't the, you're not describing your current relationship, right? This is the one that was before this one?
Yeah. And this one shows me, but he's not showing me or acting, or what do you call it, the action?
So, yeah.
Action
so what,
speaks
what's,
quarter than words.
Very, very true. That's very, you hit on a big point. So what's your stamina for this one going to be before you decide, either this is your ultimatum, you need to meet these needs I have, or I'm going to move on to somebody who can? A week, 2 weeks, month?
Year? I already did that.
Okay. So he hasn't responded yet. So
why are we talking about this guy? Is my question then? If you're already, you know, aware of this and you know what the pattern is.
I was just wondering if he's going to respond to it or anything,
no.
Or if I show up, if he's going to stop me or grab me, not grab me in a bad way, grab me in a good way, if that makes sense.
Oh, come away closer? I don't think, like make him jealous or something? Is that what we're talking about? I hope not.
He could be with me very badly.
No drama. No, this is the no drama zone.
Yep, no drama. I'm going to jump in here really quick. Rosemaria, one of the things that I'm hearing from your guides is that you really need to take a good look at this relationship and, you know, kind of write out the positive and the negative aspects of the relationship and take a really good look at this because your guides are saying, like, you've kind of been here for a while trying to figure out what to do, right? And it's almost, it feels kind of like it's waiting for him to come back. And their advice to you is to move on. You know, and maybe it's not let it go fully then completely that you kind of put it on the back burner and you say, okay, I'm just going to move forward, continue to live my life. I'll be open to a new relationship, but, you know, maybe in 6 months or a year, I can come back and revisit this relationship. But they're saying it's time for you to kind of get moving and not get stuck here. Do you understand that? Hello?
Yeah, I
Anybody
do.
Anybody there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh.
Yeah, I do.
Could you? Okay. Yeah. So that's their hope for you, that you, you know, start moving on. Because the longer you kind of stay here, you're really going to become kind of entrenched energetically, and then it's really going to be hard for you to move on. And remember, it's not just about a relationship. We're talking about energy that affects everything, okay? It's not just going to be about a relationship, but it's going to start affecting other areas in your life. So just get the energy moving and just say, you know what? Let's just pause right now. I got to, you know, not focus on you. I'm going to focus on myself. Meet people, have fun, get out there, enjoy my life. I'll revisit you in 6 months. And we'll take another inventory of, you know, of this relationship. But anyway, we're going to move on because we have time for one more caller. We hope this helped. A little bit, Rosemary.
They did.
Thanks for calling again.
All right. Yeah.
Thanks Rosemary.
Thanks.
Best wishes. Good luck.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, that's so interesting. I just kind of want to talk about this a little bit because I think it's really important sometimes where, you know, we fall in love with somebody and it's super important to that person. And, you know, when do we make the decision to kind of move on, right? This isn't going anywhere. And, yeah, I mean, and it's tough. It's really tough.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes it's necessary. Do we see that in the charts, Liam?
Well,
does that show up?
It's curious, Michael. I totally trust your take on the situation with her. She does have the indications of a pattern in the past of not going in. It's kind of an interesting mix of, she can be very serious, very committed, and you know, very, very much all in. While at the same time, there is a quality of superficiality in love affairs. She there's in that particular department, she doesn't necessarily go deep. She likes the play. She likes the adventure. And then again, it's quite a paradox, because she has the ability to be very nurturing, very caring, very devoted, and simultaneously she's like a butterfly. I like this for a while. This is a dangerous. And I think sometimes she deceives herself as to as to what's really important. Yeah. So
that's
it's
a killer.
It's a tough one. Self deception. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I deceive all the time, but I'm really good at deceiving Michael. It's true.
I'm glad you think so. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. See, there's more deception for you coming right out of the horse's mouth. Terrible. Or whatever you are.
All right.
Are you a horse?
You guys ready for?
We're ready.
Are you guys ready for one more caller?
Let's do one more.
Please. Do it.
All right. So here we go.
Engage.
917. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And if you want a reading from Liam Watt, he will need your date of birth, the time of birth, and the place of birth. Here we go. Hello, and welcome to the show. Hola. Caller.
Oh, hi. I was almost wearing this. Hey, this is Terry. How are you today?
Terry.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Terry.
We're good.
Hey,
how are you?
Terry or Terry?
Terry with the T.
Oh, okay. Hi, Terry.
Hey.
And where are you calling from? What state?
I am calling from Long Island.
Long Island?
Long Island.
Once again, Long Island.
It's a
team. I love it.
Hicksville.
Liam lives right up the street from you, up the mountain.
You do?
No. Born in Huntington, miles away from that now. But yeah.
I know where that is. Okay.
Yeah.
Cousins.
So for the astrology aspect, you have two really talented psychics also to answer your
just
question.
Just one. I'm the talented one.
So what's your date of birth, Gary?
It's 8/12/1980.
Oh, okay.
12/1980.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say, you said 8?
Yes.
Okay, 8/12. So August 12, 1980. And do you know your time of birth?
I think it was in the morning, about 1 a.m.
Early in the morning, 1 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the more specific the time of birth, the more specific I can answer your questions, but we'll see what 1 a.m. gets us. And where were you born?
I was born in Freeport, Long Island.
In Freeport. Okay. All right. August 12, 1980, 1 a.m. Freeport, Long Island. Ooh, gee, I'm getting Freeport, Bahamas. No, we're not in the Bahamas.
Nice. Let's go though.
Yeah, let's go. Okay, so we have a Leo. With a moon in Virgo, that's a nice combination. Gemini rising, so it was you have a multiple personality here, very versatile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and So, Terry, any specific question, any particular area you'd like us to look at?
Yeah, I just wanted to know, when would it be a good time to go return back to acting school?
To return back to?
Yeah, to return back to acting school.
So acting school?
To go. Yes.
All of the indicators for, I'm going to consider that higher education, are go now, don't wait. And there'll be lots of support for that. If your birth time is even approximately accurate, then I would say, yes, now is the time. Follow your instincts to do that. The past couple of years have been challenging creatively, not always going the way you would like, but the testing period of that, I would say, is over. And again, if your birth time is accurate, even within, let's say, half an hour or so, you've got great creative energy, and it's you. You live for this. I mean, your choice of this pursuit. How can I say it? This is what you want to live. This is not a hobby. This is a vocation for you. This is a calling for you. And it's a very good time for you to continue pursuing it. And I wouldn't even consider it just for acting school. I think that you want to step into it as a career. It's time. I think there's a lot of elements in place for that. The Gemini rising gives you an ability to have a very versatile persona. You can play many roles very convincingly. You have that within you. You have those multiple characters within you. You've got the Sun in Leo, which is the natural performer, the star. You're able to very graciously take center stage and be the source of good energy. This is and lots of energy towards your creativity. Again, I hope this is the correct birth time. If it is even approximate, you're very creative. And very, very deep. You see, when you play a character, you really get into that character. You go deeply into that character and have the ability to portray that. So the other thing is, if the birth time is accurate, you've already been in past lives or in the past, you're in the habit of having a successful career. And you bring light to your performances. You bring illumination. You bring inspiration and consciousness raising. Inspiration in a positive and true sense of the word. You become inspired, and you pass that out. You radiate that. That spiritual aspect of it. So I think I can unreservedly say here, once again, if you were born at 1 p.m., it might be a different story. But if this is even approximately accurate, I'd say go for it. You're on.
Okay, yeah. It sounds great.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have just a quick question for you, Terry. Sorry to interrupt. Do you when you think about your acting trajectory or career or path or whatever, is what draws you to acting like the acting part itself, or is there that component that often comes along with it where you want to be famous? Do you know what I mean? Like, or successful in a way that's a career.
I wouldn't mind making it a career.
Wouldn't mind. Okay. But let's say I'm just going to say hypothetically that doesn't happen. So, and you call us because we're going to have a podcast for 50 years. You call us 50 years from now, are you going to be acting still, or you're going to move on to some other creative pursuit, would you say?
I think I'll move on to some other creative pursuit.
If it didn't work.
If it didn't work, yeah, I would say the same thing.
And what would that be, if you don't mind me asking? What other creative things
would
you like to do?
Yeah, I'm actually going back to school for my nursing degree.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Because I'm going to piggyback off Liam a little bit. Very, very few people make a living doing acting. But everybody that acts and loves it for the sake of acting is successful. Do you know the difference? You know what I'm talking about? So if you're really in it to win it, that's a different career path trajectory. But if you've got the acting bug because you just love the drama, being on stage, you know, whatever your passion is, then there are innumerable opportunities for you to be able to express that to your heart's content, right? Local theater groups, somebody in your circle I know has a YouTube channel, you know, something like that, or you could start your own stuff. So, you know, if you need to express yourself that way, you don't want to think orthodox, you want to think out of the box. I'm going to trademark that. I like that. But if you have that passion, then you can express it however you want. If you, you know, want to channel it into the healing arts, that's its own creative joy, you know, for all sorts of reasons. But that's where I would come, you know, on with Liam's stuff is just be really, you know, comfortable with making the decision about where you're going to put all your eggs in what basket. And once you're committed, then you're committed, and that you don't look back. Does that help? Does that make sense? Or did I just say something that you're going to not be happy with? I don't know. I'm not doing too well with callers. So you're number three. I'm hoping I'm third time's a charm. You're not going to hang up on me, are you, Sherry?
Oh, no.
Okay, good. Phew. I was worried. Okay. Does that make sense, though, what I'm saying, or not? What do you think? What's your feedback? Terry.
Yeah.
Talk to me, Terry.
I'm almost falling asleep.
Don't fall asleep.
Yeah.
Come on. This is exciting.
Sorry.
This show's amazing.
Just, okay. I am so sorry. I am almost,
oh my gosh.
I almost falling asleep
and
at the same time.
Now you hurt my feelings.
Huh?
Now you hurt my feelings because I put you to sleep. That's
it's
Michael's
no,
job.
No, it's not you. No, I've been up
he's,
since, oh my gosh.
He's the boring one. Come on. Okay.
Yeah, I've been up for a long time today.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I
went
okay. to Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would try to make it a career.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I would try to make it a career, but I work, I practice, and I work hard, so I think I might succeed mm-hmm. this time.
Okay.
Compared to over the years, but I'm a little older. I mean, I'm a little older and a lot smarter. So.
See. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, we'll do. You know, if you want to use us in your tryout reel, you know, for the next audition on Broadway, Michael and I are totally down for that. We'll give you all the kudos, all the positive feedback to the director. We'll talk you up. So just hit us up. You know how to find us, girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'm sure
well,
Liam will too.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Michael, guys. Have a great
thank
weekend.
You.
All right.
Hey, you too.
Have a great
Terry.
Week.
Thanks for checking in. Blessings.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Wow, guys. Well, it's that time.
So Lawrence, you...
Yeah.
I inflated her balloon, and you stuck a big pin in it.
That's our
That's
job.
His job,
you
Liam.
Figure that, you know that by now, right? I'm the balloon deflator.
I'm curious.
They call me the Hindenburg killer. Just so you know. Yeah.
Well, so I'm just curious because I was reading what I was seeing to the best of my ability to, you know, just to do it shooting from the hip without, you know, a lot of research. But you were going with your own feeling. You were reading her. Is that correct?
Well, if you want to know my process in a nutshell, there was yeah. some information she gave us in the beginning that put a big fat question mark in my head. And then there was also just the trend for how the callers were going. And I'm often in your camp where I'm like, okay, I'm going to round the edges off of what Spirit's telling me, even though they're being pretty direct or I would say even harsh. And yeah. I kind of took the kid gloves off a little bit by this caller where I just wanted to give it to her straight. And I tried to be really nice. I didn't want to like totally burst her bubble, but I also think she needs to hear both sides, right? Just like that symbol of the theater, right? The Janus, the two-face, like the dramedy and the dramedy. Well, that's true. Drama and the comedy, right? Those two faces
yeah.
you see on the theater marquee. You gave her the positive stuff, which she needs, which every actor who's aspiring, no matter where they're at in life, needs. They need that. Otherwise, you know, they're not going to make it. And they need people outside of themselves to support them. They also need somebody to say, you know what, you better have a backup plan, because every actor has to have a backup plan. I don't care who it is.
Yeah, that's a really good
point. You know, so I don't know if it was so much bursting the bubble as trying to say, hey, when the bubble does burst, if it does, where are you going to land? You know, let's think about that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
because I'm going to be on stage someday. Michael and I are going to do a ventriloquist dummy show involving psychometry. We haven't told you this yet, but we're hoping you'll come and you know be in the audience and be our plant. So
who's sitting
Michael's
on whose lap?
Dummy. Yeah,
who's
well,
the
Michael's
dummy?
Not sitting on my lap because I don't trust him, but he's going to be the dummy for sure. I'm filled with science, yeah. but he's the dummy. So it's a toss-up. I might be the dummy too. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Right, Michael?
Please. Please, Jesus, help me. Please, Jesus, help me.
Are you so glad the show's over? I am too. Isn't that nice?
Are we off the air or are we getting still off the air?
Oh, my
no,
gosh. We should be
gonna,
off the air.
We're still on air. We're going to go off right
the,
now. So, Liam, how can people get a hold
air.
Of you?
Two good ways. My email account is iamliamwatt@gmail.com or my desk phone, 845-688-3344.
Great. And Lawrence, how can people get a hold of you?
There's four options. You can call or text 541-344-7534. Email is givingtree, all one word, givingtree@earthlink.net. Facebook page says GivingTree Farm Herbs, and my website, givingtreefarm.com. And how about you, my lovely co-host, Mr. Espinoza? What's the best way to get a pranic healing or reading?
You can reach me through my website, michaeljespinoza.com, or you can call or text me at 562-457-0457. Thank you to our wonderful guest, Liam Watt. It has just been such a pleasure to have you back.
It's a real honor. You guys are so much fun and so talented. Thank you so much for bringing me on as a guest.
Yeah, and thank you, Lawrence,
likewise.
For being here, and my lovely
you
co-host.
You too.
We'll be here next
and
week.
And all our listeners.
Same bat time,
yeah.
same bat
mm-hmm.
channel. Like us
yeah.
on our page, and
follow
us.
We've yep. got a year's
all
worth
right.
of archives to entertain and enjoy.
Yes. Well, thank you for listening. from all of us at the Psychic Funhouse, have a great and wonderful week. Bye-bye.